Hello and welcome into episode 42 of Bourbon Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking. I'm Carrie, and the gang's all here today. Rob.
Hello, good people.
Sean.
What up, my folk?
Chad.
Happy to be back.
And John.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy. As always.
I don't know if John's happy. He's been in trouble since before we started.
I mean, good. Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah. Fair enough.
He's okay.
You misplace authority if you think I'm in trouble.
Oh, dang.
Well, now you are in trouble.
Wow.
Now you are in trouble.
See previous statement.
Ooh.
But anyway.
Ouch.
Here we are, as always, in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. It is hot.
Yeah.
But it's summer.
Yeah,
it's official kickoff of summer, right?
That's
Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Even though it's technically not until June something, but this is kind of the unofficial kickoff, right?
Right.
No,
it's been great weather the last couple of days.
Totally. And, you know, happier I cannot be that it was like 9 o'clock last night. It was still light out.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. Glorious. Yeah. It was glorious.
No, I absolutely love that. And, of course, one thing that you will never find me having a bad opinion on is the hot weather. Because I'm so over cold that I will not complain about 90 degrees and 100% humidity. I just
that's a bad opinion. No. I'm going to stick around 75,
yeah, that's
60, 70% humidity. Yeah. I think that's perfect.
I can go somewhere in the 80s with the top down.
Yeah, see, Rob's all about putting the top down. Yeah. So anytime he can put the top down.
Please,
well,
Rob.
If you put that much product in your hair, I'd have the top down, too.
No, you gotta have, hair, gotta right? have that, the product, otherwise the hair goes crazy, man. Yeah.
That's what she said.
For those of us who have hair.
Yeah.
John,
too soon.
Opinions?
What?
Opinions?
Well, I think you're totally wrong on the weather, because 100 degrees and you said, what did you say, 90 degrees and 100% humidity?
That's
sounds,
raining.
That sounds like.
That's legitimately raining.
It sounds like putting freshly washed clothes in a dryer. That's horrible to me. I'm not doing that. But, I mean, I'm with Sean, you know, 70s, 80s, a nice breeze. I'm good with that.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I hammocked yesterday, so I was all good. The first hammock of the season, so that made me happy.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm kind of shut up about what's running through my head right now.
Yeah.
It wasn't a banana hammock.
Oh, thank you. You said it.
No. I don't even know what just happened there.
It was a legit hammock. It was like the kind that you lay down
in. Like a cargo net hammock.
No, actually, it's like one of the fancier hammocks. Oh. And it's not one of those hammocks either that all the college kids
have. Do
not
malign those.
Right? Are they good?
I love that, my Enos. They're
really
awesome. Yep.
Because I'm telling you what, EKU, the Ravine, just, they multiply.
Oh, yeah. On UK's campus, they're everywhere. And so I need to take one of mine to work for that very reason, because there's trees available, because there's no kids there.
So UK hasn't shut that down, because some campuses have shut it down.
No, I've only seen them. One dude I did see, he was up in like a real large elm tree. He was about 30 feet off the ground, stringing his hammock, and I'm thinking,
smart.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything, but that's stupid.
I've seen him stack them.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him stack them like about five high. And so the police came by and told him to get out of the tree, because it was like really kind of stupid.
Because I've actually heard other universities, because they're worried that they're going to damage the trees and stuff, that aren't let students use them.
At some universities are also building like patios with poles. So you just, and the hooks, cool. You just come in and just kind of hook up there. And
far less dangerous. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Because
I imagine there's some sort of liability there, even though there shouldn't be.
So patio, but on concrete, though? Over concrete?
Over like mulch and stuff and grass.
That's better.
Yeah.
Are these rounded poles or are they squared poles?
Rounded with hooks.
That's smart. That way you can double use some. I mean, there's some people on there probably need a little extra practice before they shift.
Exactly.
That's the fun, is watching. We'll sit out there in the ravine and watch these students put up these hammocks. And there's some of them that obviously they went out and bought them because everybody else has them and they want a hammock, which is cool because I'm all about the hammocking. But you're watching them and I'm going,
Nope.
This is the first time you've ever put one of these up. I wonder if you're going to bust your ass when you get
it's
in
an
it.
Art, because you got to spread that apart and sit down, because trust me, I have maybe have had one too many drinks and tried to get in my hammock at the house. Boom, looking up, there's my feet.
Wish I'd seen that.
It was glorious.
Can you flip out of those? Because it seems like you could.
Yes, you can. Trust me. You can flip out.
Because I've been waiting to see one of that
I'm
too.
I'm just kind of shocked that we're talking about hammocks this long. Right?
In depth.
It's like this is a point of note for a footnote of my life. Yeah. I mean, this is the longest conversation I've ever had about hammocks.
I think that's fair. I have chairs, and I'm good.
Oh, you mean the hammock district?
Yeah, the hammock district.
Right?
Yeah.
The hammock district. Anyway, okay, we'll get off of hammocks and on to bourbon. But first, I have to thank Aaron for filling in for Sean last week.
Yeah, no.
Or last show, whenever that was.
Yeah, whatever.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, he did a good job. Outstanding
and
job.
Representing Hart County quite
absolutely.
Well.
Yes, yeah. Yes, which we found out you and him had an extensive conversation after we got done recording.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
I still don't like him.
Well, the reason you don't like him is because of the next person I'm going to thank, who is Oni, again, for sending us those fabulous blind tasting samples.
Wine really tasting
cool.
samples?
Wine.
Oh, I thought you said wine.
No,
wine.
I like Oni. Oni's cool.
I'm trying Aaron. To get him to send one to, to you directly.
One more,
is that
what it
is?
And Sean, hello, Oni. Honestly, in hindsight, we probably should have left you some Wild Turkey.
No, nah, it's finished
right.
at all.
That's all right. No, I understand. I know who y'all is.
So, John, what did you think about that cheesy goal full of Wild Turkey?
I'm telling you, I thought it was good. I was shocked at all the things that he sent. I still can't believe it. It was very generous of him to do so, but they were good. They were really good. It opened my eyes to a number of things, as this show has unfortunately dragged me into the light with some beliefs I held sacred. Maybe they weren't 100% true.
But did that go back to what we've always said about the older bourbons, the vintage bourbons?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like what we're getting today, but I wish I was drinking age back in there, because that stuff was just love, pure love that people were drinking.
I think the other thing is every distillery puts out a fine product. It might not be all of their products, but they're all putting out something that's top-notch.
Most distilleries.
Again, I had no issue with the Redneck Riviera. Shout out to Cowboy Troy yet again. Send me a bottle. Thanks.
And actually, that Redneck Riviera would be quality drinking for, I think, this weekend. You know?
That's like that could be your thing. That could be your platform, like a hammock and Redneck Riviera.
They're good. I mean,
that's
probably,
like,
They're on the social media all the time, so you could probably send a picture in, and they're going to hit
you
up.
They give you a shout-out, and they added you.
Almost immediately.
Yeah, they added you.
They obviously hadn't listened to the episode, but hey, that's okay. That's all right. We'll take it. But yeah, no, thanks again to Oni for sending us just that fabulous bourbon that we got to blind taste.
Thank you, sir.
So we're doing another blind tasting today. Rob has brought us bottle A and bottle B. Rob, would you like to tell us anything about these?
No, we'll just drink it and then we'll get to it. I mean, I think this is something that most of the people at the table have had, so it should be familiar. And we'll just go from there.
Okay, fair enough. Sean, you did have, I think, because nobody else had any kind of bourbon stuff going on in between shows, did we? I don't think
It's been kind of a slow time. There's not been a lot of things released recently.
Right. Because it's that time of year.
Because it was going gung-ho for 2 months, like every weekend, and then now it's kind of slowed down. But Sean, you did have what I have dubbed a tater fantasy camp.
That's legitimate. I'll buy that.
Yesterday, I guess.
I went to, got my Liquor Mart email and saw that they had the Elijah Craig barrel proof, and they had limited quantities.
Which those are solid.
Yeah, they are solid. That's the reason I went to get that. And also they were having Henry McKenna. So I was like, okay, I haven't had a bottle.
Another solid one.
Exactly. Yeah. For the fact that they're allocated is the one that irritates me. And when I got there at like 10 till 9, they were open up at 9. There was only 10 people in line. Before we got into the store, there was about 20. So everybody got a bottle. And you could tell, judging by the crowd, they actually let us buy a bottle of each. Mm-hmm. So I came out of there with the Elijah Craig and with the Henry McKenna and just walked out the door. And they usually, when they have these things, they're like, nope, you get one bottle and you pick and you go out the door.
Right. Yeah. And the only reason I dubbed it Tater Fantasy Camp was just because people were actually standing in line.
Well, yeah, there were people. And there was one guy who evidently... He drove up, and I think was it earlier this week, Total Wine or one of the other liquor barns had got a lot of their Weller in, and he was talking about he had scored some OWA and some Special Reserve, and he was just seeing if they had any more left, and they were going to put it out. And I was thinking, dude, this is like 2 days later. That stuff's gone and been gone.
Yeah. Which to me is, it's just crazy that that Kentucky, where people think all this stuff really exists all the time, has got to the point where people camp out to get – OWA and what their special reserve. I mean,
exactly.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
I guess that's where we are now, though. You know, I mean,
I think we should go back to our original idea. We talked about a few shows about it. We just need to rent a passenger van. We need to hit Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas.
Go see Adam.
Yeah. And just pack it up and bring it all back.
I'm sure his wife would be thrilled to have us stay at his house with their new baby, right?
I feel like we would fit in with the family.
Right.
Yeah. I actually think that, yeah, that
I'm sure he's got like
right.
a morning like somewhere. For
we
us.
Can all get up, take turns feeding the baby.
Show up like with the Griswolds and the Wagon Queen family truckster.
I like it. Yeah.
Which you could purchase. There was one for auction.
I saw that today.
Really?
Not too long, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't.
I mean,
the one
you didn't want metallic pee?
No, it was like a replica version.
It was, but it was like.
I mean, it was spot on.
It was spot on. Yeah. Yes, it had the eight sets of headlights or whatever, nice. And yeah,
we're coming
did it
for
have
you,
honky
Adam.
Lips painted on the side, spray painted
oh my
on the
God.
Side?
Yeah.
Did it?
No.
But, yeah.
We're coming for you, Adam.
That's right. We are, but no. But so, yeah, so I think everything is going to kind of slow down now in the next, because September is really when things pick back up again. That's the next big go around. So, but yeah, we'll see. All right. So last episode, we talked about the Kentucky Derby. So since then, the second leg of the Triple Crown has been run. And the only reason I am talking about this, the only reason, because again, there's not going to be a Triple Crown winner and practically hardly anybody cares. Rob, you didn't even watch the Preakness.
No, I after the Derby ruined the entire Triple Crown this year. It was a travesty. I might never watch again. Kidding.
I think I'm going to, and I think I'm going to watch the Belmont coming up on June 8th, and here's why. Because in the Preakness, the horse Bodie Express threw his rider right out of the gate and then proceeded to run the race all by himself and then do another lap just because he could.
They like to run.
Of course, this
herd animals.
This wasn't going to count even if he hit, but I think he did damn near win the race.
No.
Really? Yeah. No.
I thought he
back.
Did.
No,
oh,
no,
was he in the back?
Back.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He beat two riders.
Okay.
But keep in mind,
two riders
wait.
Lost to a horse with no rider. You paid someone to ride a horse in a circle, and you lost to a horse with no rider.
But keep in mind, I mean, that's 125 pounds that horse didn't have to pack, though, right. too, right? And you have to meet, that's why you have to weigh in.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
even the jockeys that are underweight, they have to add weights to the seat.
Right, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And in fairness, this is a while back at Keeneland, Pat Day fell off my horse once. I want to say that the horse came in one somewhere in the 1-3, but of course it didn't pay, and it was
right.
very upsetting.
Sure, yeah. And see, I think it should pay, frankly. I mean, but why not?
No,
we're running without a rider?
Yeah, it's 118 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it knows what to do, you know?
Because they're herd animals. They're genetically programmed to run in herds. They break the gates
you can watch
and
them.
Go. And that's the reason a lot of thoroughbreds don't make it, because they can never do the gate breaking and run in the herd.
Mm-hmm.
They get freaked out by that, and they just don't get over that part. So.
Right. But the bottom line is, so we had the nuttiness with the Derby. We've had this craziness with the Preakness. I am tuning in solely to see what happens at the Belmont. I really am.
Miss me with that.
Hard pass.
Really? Well, what
total hard pass. On
what
that.
About, John?
I'll watch it, but did you,
it's
I don't know
you
that you
no
watched
power,
it.
Sir.
The Preakness, though, because the.
I did watch it, but I didn't watch it. Watch
well,
it.
So the controversy is that one of the dudes in the gate held on too long to the bridle. And that caused the horse to rear, and that's what they said. That's what the rider was knocked off because of that. And you could see, like, they went back and played the video of the break out of the gate, and you could see the dude who was the gate operator. He was visibly like aggravated, and he was upset about it. So it's more the hand of weirdness kind of reaching into these races. It won't happen again. I'll watch it because it's been interesting. I don't know. I guess I'm just not as upset about the Derby because I do think there were shenanigans kind of going on. And I understand it, but I think I find it's the same thing I thought before. A lot of these people I just do not like. A lot of the owners I do not like. I didn't like California Gold's owner years ago.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, I thought he was a total dick.
Yeah.
Give me Miss Ginter, where you're 80 and half blind and some old man walks up to you and says, you've won. That was in the 80s. That was good. Those were the good days.
So let me ask you this. So Maximum Security's owner has come up with this, what, wager, I guess?
The match race kind of
He's
thing.
He's a baller.
Kind of thing, right? And, of course, he has horse owner FU money and whatever. And I guess if I had horse owner FU money, I'd do this too. So he wants to – he's offering, what, $20 million to country
hose.
Country hose, country horse, country house, whatever.
And the other, what, three.
And Will of Power.
The other three horses who finished.
War of Will.
Yeah, and said $5 million each and said, come race me.
But see, didn't he say if they all raced in the Belmont?
No, I think he just
wanted... It's a separate race.
I think he wanted it separately.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's probably scaring everybody off is like, he says, if I beat you, then you've got to all pay me $5 million.
Oh, well, no. No. Mm-mm. No.
That was the second part that everybody kept missing.
See, that's stupid. No wonder nobody's going to take him up.
I think that, you know, it's a fun conversation. A match race of that style would probably be entertaining. You could probably do a pay-per-view or something. Not pay-per-view, but something on TV. You
ESPN pick it up.
Yeah, you could get some
TVG
partners in.
Yeah, they would.
And they could kick in some cash. I mean, I think people would like to see it, and it would satisfy the particulars of the Kentucky Derby that people aren't happy with. I would, you know, even though the jockey was suspended for like 25 days, which is total BS, I think, on that too, you know, put him back on the horse, run it, and say, hey, look, my horse is better than yours.
How about this? Run it at the Breeders' Cup.
I was getting ready to say Breeders' Cup.
That'd be fun.
I was just getting ready to say Breeders' Cup. Totally. Perfect race for the Breeders' Cup. Perfect race. Because then what you do is you get all these shakes and all this to kick in some purse money.
They all wear Jeff Ruby pants, you know, and they go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I read an article that said that they thought that the three may actually get back together in the Haskell. Like, there's a chance that they may actually run again. But we talked about this last time. If I'm country house horse hose whatever, if I'm the connections that horse, why would I do that?
Yeah. Well, I'm hedging my bets on that because there goes my stud fee. There goes the lineage of the blood horse.
There's too much on the stake. I don't care if you're offering me $20 million. I can make a crap ton more than that. Now, yes, I'm going to have to convince some people that my horse really won, and there is that idea out there. But the horse still crossed the line. I mean, that horse was second. It clearly has some ability. I don't think I would.
Other part on this, there's a lot of animosity between the riders now, the owners, the litigation that's going on. So I don't see it, but I think it would be super cool.
Yeah, no, I do. I totally watch it. But again, I'm going to watch the Belmont just to see what craziness could ensue, if any.
I'll just sit on the patio.
And I don't want anybody to get hurt, horses or riders or anything like that, but... You know, just any kind of nuttiness that could take place. I'm on board with.
They should settle with some jousting.
Ooh.
I like that, sir.
I like that. Yeah.
That I would show up to watch.
Yeah, I'd totally show up to watch that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eat some mutton and just drown a few tankards
some
of ale.
Yeah.
Just fight people.
Just having grease all over your beard. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Renaissance fairs.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
No, they are fun.
Good times. Good clean American fun.
Did you see that guy at the Renaissance fair that actually got killed from jousting?
Yeah, it was just like last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did we talk about that? I feel like it was
Maybe we did.
I think we did. We probably did talk
it was either, about that. We talked about it on episode or it was on the list to talk about. We didn't get to it. I don't remember.
Maybe.
We didn't.
Well, shout out to the Kentucky Ren Fair. If you haven't done that and you're around here, it's fun. They do it, unfortunately, in June, the hottest damn time of the year. And
get out there in your armor
let's dress up in full wool.
It would be so great if they did. It'd be great if they did it like in October, November. But it's like full on. You're drinking and eating like Scotch eggs and mutton, and just getting plowed. But it's like 100 degrees outside.
Yeah. The one in Ohio is in September, October.
Yeah. It's probably a pretty bigger draw.
I've been to that one. Have you not been to that one?
No. Haven't.
Oh, you should go.
This makes me want that movie. You guys may remember from the '80s, the Knight Riders. When they went to the medieval fairs on motorcycles.
Yes, that's
what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I'd seen every movie from the '80s, but no, apparently not.
You have not seen that? They do jousting on motorcycles?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Okay.
All right, well, I have no segue into our next topic from that. I had one, and then the jousting took it in a whole other direction. So, all right. The Pentagon has finally admitted that... It did investigate UFOs, and through a secret government agency called the Initiative Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program that was supposedly shut down in 2012. Now, and I say supposedly because I think that they're lying, but anyway.
Just change names.
People are kind of freaking out that the fact that they're finally actually admitting this, but I thought that they admitted it like years ago. And maybe I just
think they did.
It.
I mean, all that stuff's declassified. They were doing all that stuff.
Right. Area 51 and all that. Yeah.
I can't remember if it was declassified or if they talked about it. But you know, I think in the public conscience, everybody knows that it's been investigated. I mean, you know, first, no matter what it is, if it's just a satellite or if it's another country flying over, the U.S. government's going to investigate it. And if it's an unidentified object or whatever they're calling them these days, they're going to look into that. So it makes sense.
Makes total sense. I mean, we got a sky full of stuff. I mean, the Pentagon investigates water shortages and how that's going to affect the world politics and all that stuff. So why wouldn't they look at aliens? I mean, and they look at asteroids. It's all a threat. So somebody's got to investigate it.
Yeah, well said. I couldn't agree more. It's like, well, I would be remiss, you know, to say that I would be sad if they didn't investigate it, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And apparently they were funding it to the tune of like $40 or $60 million or something like that.
That's good.
There's the point. You got all these people that got to do something.
Yeah.
Look to the sky. And it's the IATIP. Is that what it's called?
Initiative Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program.
Just the tip, IATIP. John.
Just
yes.
The tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
IATIP.
Yeah.
IATIP. Yeah. Call the IATIP hotline.
Yeah.
Yeah, get out there.
That's what she said.
So what's your all's feeling on the whole kind of actual UFO thing? Because I know my opinion on it.
It's all cigarette smoking, man, too. There's like shadow government, you know, other things going on. There's other life out there. There's other life below the water. Yeah, we're being kept in the dark.
Are you being facetious?
No, man. Okay. I'm 100% serious. There are things out there that we don't know about. And I think to Sean's point is it's government control of that information to, you know, to keep population in line or to ensure the, you know, the longevity of the species.
I feel that Chad is correct that it's government control of the information, but I think we've talked about it before. If there were other beings that could travel here, I think we'd be in trouble. You know,
yes, sir.
That's the biggest issue. However you want to think about evolution and how long it's taken our species to get to where it is today, you know, there would have to be some other crazy advancements in some other species. So I just can't see it as far as travel, interstellar travel.
Von Neumann machines.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah. It's a sheer numbers game to me. I mean, you look at the vast quantity of space, the number of planets are out there, the age of the universe. It's happened before, and there's probably somebody out there much more advanced. My opinion is they took a look at us and says, they all crazy. We ain't going there.
They saw us a few episodes of Mari as they were passing by.
Yeah. Or some Kardashians and said, we ain't going there, man.
See, that's the thing. All they have to do now is get on Instagram, and they were like, no, these people, they're going to do themselves in.
Well, you know, and here's the point. It's like Stephen Hawking and several other people say, you actually don't want to find these groups. You don't want us to find us because they will have no good intent, most likely.
I would agree with that.
If they're that advanced, we have nothing to offer them except our love and our bourbon. And they can just take that by force.
Just worship our new overlords.
Exactly. I mean, you know.
For one, welcome our new alien overlords.
There you go. The old boss is the same as the new boss. It's fine. We all live in the Matrix anyway.
that's true. We are living in the Matrix.
Yeah.
But no, I totally subscribe to the fact that they're, you know, UFOs. And I actually subscribe to the fact that they've probably been here. At some point, just because there's been other declassified stuff. I think last year they declassified something from an F-16 fighter pilot.
Yeah, the video, the footage.
The video footage, and the guy was like, I have zero idea what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and they interviewed like several like those Air Force guys, and they're like, in all of our career of flying, like 30 plus years for these people, they've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. Right.
And airline pilots, these folks are trained observers, and they've seen things they can't explain.
And again, it could be experimental government aircraft, but frankly, I don't think the Soviets ever had the technology to do anything like that.
Probably not, but I mean,
that's what a lot of people thought, was that like the Area 51 really was Soviet stuff, right?
Right.
That it was like that Soviet downed craft that they tried to, like, you know, that they tried to, they were wanting us to like propagandize, like to believe that it was extraterrestrial and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joe was out to get us. Yeah.
But I fully believe that, and when you look, you know, when the Soviet Union finally fell and everything opened up and we actually realized what we were, you know, up
their
against
technology.
Their technology, there's no way. Yeah. I mean, you know.
And no discredit to any of these pilots, but I've seen things that I can't explain. I mean, you know, and it's kind of creepy and what have you, but, you know, I just go on about my business.
Including this 5 o'clock shadow that you're exporting today.
Well, if you believe those people doing what, when we talk about this before, but DMT, was it Ayahuasca or whatever that stuff
is? Ayahuasca,
like,
yes.
Yeah, it's like... They claim that there's other dimensions, man. You just got to unlock the ability to see it.
Right.
These,
oh, that would be a show.
Yeah.
Bourbon and bad opinions on DMT.
Well, isn't that what Stranger Things was all about in that first season where they unlock the upside down world in that government experimental?
Yes.
Yeah, but that wasn't through drugs. But yeah, I don't know how they were supposedly
but
did
like
it.
They,
yeah.
they unlocked it or whatever. Yeah. Or Stargate.
I feel like we're starting to feel like the Rogan Show. We keep coming back.
I know. The DMT. Yeah, no,
hey, but shout out to Oni. He was sending me text yesterday. He's actually, he's become a podcast fan and a Books on Tape person. He actually is listening to something on Operation Paperclip, which I think we've even touched on the show before.
Yeah,
right?
Which is a good X-Files episode.
It was one of the best ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I first had learned about it. Like, right, that's before like your Wikipedia and all that stuff. Right. And I had to go do some digging to find out what that was. So that was in the 90s, I guess, when that one came out.
It was second season.
Well, that's what he heard. That was on the Rogan Show because that woman wrote that book on the Operation Paperclip.
Really? Maybe that's what he's listening to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if they do come down, right, they're going to find people like this guy who decided that he wanted to crash a wedding. And so he walks into this wedding, and he, I guess he's dancing and eating and drinking and whatnot. And the photographer was actually the one who busted him.
Yeah.
And the bride and the groom were like, no, we don't know this person. So they escorted him out. You know, they were like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. So he leaves. He sneaks back in through the kitchen. They escort him out again. And then apparently he tries to crash another wedding on the 11th floor of this same venue that the first wedding that he tried to crash. And then he got arrested.
Oh, man, I have opinions on this. And maybe I'm an outlier here, but fuck it. Let him stay. I mean, apparently for the articles
Word,
that I read,
Word.
They said that he was kind of a draw. Like the bride didn't say anything. The groom didn't say because he was having fun and people were kind of drawn to him. Right.
Well, and also, you know, the bride and the groom both said that it's a great story.
Yeah,
like, they
totally.
Both exactly. said about it. Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's white. How much trouble can he do on the dance floor? Right. Other than to laugh at him. Right. I mean, come on.
No parking on the dance floor.
Yeah, right. No parking, baby. Yeah. I wouldn't let him stay. It was just good, clean fun, man. Unless he was like, you know, slamming all the booze and your bar tabs going through the roof, his open bar. But all
right, it was touching people. You know, keep your hands to yourself and dance.
I thought it was kind of funny, and I think this is what did happen because if I'm reading the story, like the bride thought it was somebody from the groom's party.
Yeah,
But I think he was trying to snuggle up to one of the bridesmaids.
And the photographer, too.
And the photographer. So he was getting a little handsy, and I think that's what got him in trouble. I mean, I'm kind of with you on the...
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There were people, you know, at weddings that I've been to that I would not recognize, you know, and that's fine. But once you cross that line, you got to recognize that, hey... You crossed the line, and now you probably
There's having fun and playing grab ass. Yeah. That's a little bit different.
Yeah. I'm all about it. I may or may not have crashed a few weddings on library conferences because they tend to be that time of year, June.
In
when
the same
weddings.
Hell yeah.
So I may or may not have gone crash a couple of weddings.
You already dressed up. Why not?
I was in coat and tie, and there was a wedding three floors up. We like, you want to go? Yeah, and we went up in reception. Had a blast. But keep your hands to yourself, and nobody just assumes you're new
and
folks.
And that's the thing. If you act like you belong there and don't act the fool, then you're going to be fine, right?
Yeah. Wedding Crashers is one of the best movies.
Yeah,
there has been. It's great.
Because if you follow that formula, you will succeed.
Yeah, totally. Yes.
And I have been, again, to weddings with my wife that not a lot of people knew me, or I didn't know a lot of people, and they were like, you know, oh, you're here for the bride and the groom. You just pick a side. And, you
right,
know, again,
and say
you
yes.
just call it.
Sure.
And that's the weird thing is you're like, it's easy to do, depending on the size of the wedding.
Yeah.
You get 100 people there, and they're clearly not interested. Most people aren't interested in ticking people's names off and checking IDs at the door. But it's different if you're disruptive. Carrie's mom fully believes that we got wedding crashed.
Totally, 100%.
When I saw that, I was trying to figure out who.
Well, and they think that they were going to steal some gifts because my mom's totally, you know, surveying the room. And pretty much, I think I knew... Pretty much, you might have not known all my relatives, but we knew all our friends, and I knew all my relatives, and John pretty much didn't have any relatives there, except for his mom and Ralph. So it was, we pretty much knew everybody at ours, and my mom spied these two people over by the gift table, and she kept an eye on them, and she asked me if I knew them, and she asked John, and we didn't know them, and she was like, get out. And she's 100% convinced that they were going to at least steal, like, cards or money or something like that.
Yeah, of course they're,
yeah. Yeah,
I mean, because cards would be easy to pick up and walk out.
Right.
Yeah. And if that is your profession, if that is your chosen pastime, how many times do you get away with it before somebody who is sober and kind of paying attention realizes what's happening?
Right.
And it's
you're playing the odds too. In the media, we've talked about this on this show like numerous times. The information is out there, right? Used to be the only time you knew, like, locally, if somebody's going to get married, they announce it in the paper,
exactly.
You know, but now it's like Instagram. It's on the book face. It's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. hell, you could show up at one of these conferences, see who the names are, and you could start Googling them, like, and right, and you're like, oh yeah, I know Steve, Steve and I, we're in the service together, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I really think what happened in our situation was that this was like a regular reception venue. So if you dress up, you troll by there on a Saturday night, you see the place hell is filled with cars,
you walk in,
you know it's time. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, unless you're at a mob wedding, apparently, right? And you can have a bag
that,
full of
that
cash.
That would be awful. That would be a mistake, die. Right?
I'm just saying, Goodfellas, where she's like, right. "What about the money?" And he's like, "Who's going to steal the money here?"
Well, you know, here's another point I should share with our dear listeners. If it's a sit down dinner, be careful because everybody's got assigned seats, and they're already there.
Ah, so you want a buffet.
You get a buffet, or you wait till the dancing has started when the bar is still open.
Yeah.
And then you just roll in.
You sound like you've thought this through, I see.
I may or may not have done this. Sir.
Yeah.
Wedding crash pro tips from Sean.
There you go. There
I have so many things I can't say right now.
So many.
Yeah.
So would you crash a funeral? Because you know there's some funerals that turn into, you know.
Well, that's what Will Ferrell did in Wedding Crashes, right?
Right.
That's
right.
That was his next phase. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Sean's thinking about
it. Yeah, you know. I know people who they will take off the work if they – halfway know the person, they would go to the funeral just to observe and see who cries, who shows up, what strays come in. So that's my daddy or that's my mama. And then they would go to the church afterwards and eat the free meal. So yes, I am sure people will funeral crash. And I think if there's an Irish wake going on,
now, I'm there.
Wow. I like it. I'll just leave it at that. I like
wow.
it.
Wow.
I'd crash a New Orleans funeral because you know those are.
Oh, I'm sure those.
I don't think you have to crash. You just get into the procession. You hit the second line and you just kind of dance.
Shake some hands.
Yeah, you're good.
You grab another grenade and you go.
A hand grenade, as in a drink, not throwing.
What happened there? Wow.
The German pineapple.
So I'm fascinated by Sean's friends. That's. I will say
word acquaintance, sir.
Okay.
This is a BABO after dark, I feel.
So it would fascinate me, though. I would want to be there because I think the most important thing, the most interesting thing is who brings what to a funeral, because you recognize how much they truly are in mourning and how much they value your friendship or the person who's lost by what they bring.
Well, okay, let me preface this, because in the South, that's the most important thing is the covered dish that you bring.
Oh, right? Yeah, totally.
But you bring that to the house.
That's
the
house for afterwards. You do for afterwards.
Think of the church.
But you know, but people used to have the whole shebang in their
house.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right? One of my grandfathers died. My mother, he was in the house because he was
in his casket. Yeah, you had to sit up with the body overnight and everything.
And, John, I'm going to go back to you talking about this, is the fact that in the South, that is probably, you are judged heavily.
Yeah. Oh, for sure you
heavily.
Are.
Oh, yes.
Don't bring no white people potato salad.
See, that's it. Yeah. You bring store-bought potato salad. And people will stand in the room and talk about the fact that she brought store-bought. Sir. Now, if this had been her side of the family, she'd have made a casserole.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
I don't necessarily think that is just funeral only. That's family reunions. That's any get-togethers.
No, it's worse at funerals.
It's worse. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. That's a bad opinion, sir.
No, I mean, well, y'all have a different
funeral.
Family.
Like, Southern funerals can devolve into fights.
Y'all got a different family. So I'm just going to say, anytime you bring anything in a box or the store-bought to an event that the larger part of my family is, you're gonna there's going to be some sniping somewhere.
That's fair enough. No, right? That's a fair point.
At a funeral, it's like just 10 times 10.
Oh, yeah. Just dump that shit out in a dish and then bring it. Take your store-bought tub of like coleslaw.
Right. And at least try to pass it off.
You get your one good dish.
That's fine. But yeah, just...
Exactly. You get one good dish, you get a good silver spoon, you put it in there, and you make it look nice. Put a little paprika on the top, you're good.
John,
now, if you're really in mourning, you bring a meat.
Yeah. I mean, there are people,
family reunions. Richie's fried chicken.
Exactly.
That you know that you're not going to eat their stuff.
Oh, totally.
We're talking about it months in advance. Like, you know so-and-so is bringing that, and we ain't touching it.
You know she's bringing that macaroni and cheese. It was 20
dry
years
as hell,
ago.
And yeah.
She can't taste anything now because she smoked for 30 years, and it's even worse.
Yeah, so I just don't think it's funerals. I just think that's just a Southern, and it's probably not just a Southern thing. It's probably
I don't know. I think it occurs.
We'll need Adam and Oni to weigh in.
Yeah,
yes.
Guys, let us know.
We definitely will. And, John, I know you've got at least one story about that. You have to.
About not eating things that people bring?
Knowing where you grew up.
Well, I know a number of people that I wouldn't eat their food.
No.
I'm just saying about talking and sniping about somebody.
Yes. It happens all the time.
Yeah, that happens.
All the time.
Sniping and not eating stuff. That happens at like Christmases and things like that. Like in Thanksgiving. Yeah. Like, no, I know we're not eating that dish.
Oh, yeah.
And what about the people who eat the last food? Because I remember at my Mm-hmm. My father, when he passed, we were at the house, and my godmother made her special cake for me and my mother and brought it up. And then mm-hmm. one of my cousin's husbands went in there and cut off like one slice and then seriously, like a damn TV show, and took the rest of the cake home.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, sir.
He's banned for life. Then.
We were livid.
He's banned for
we
life.
We were livid at that man.
From all functions.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-mm.
No more family functions for that man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Man, that's like, you know, I don't out somebody, but somebody in our family, when we're at a events, like when if it's like family gathering or somebody's like huge birthday or holiday, and they like if they like the dessert or whatever,
yes, sir. Yes.
They will go and hide it. They will take it and hide it. It's absolutely awesome. I just learned about this last fall when I realized that like all the white cake had gone and all the chocolate chip cookies had disappeared.
So they'd been
secreted away so that they could be consumed by this person later. And I love it. I think it's great.
That's hilarious. Wow.
And apparently people have known about this for like 20, 30 years, and I'm just now learning about it.
Somebody's busted it up.
It's like, what happened to the banana pudding? It's like, well, you know, such and such hit it.
Well, between the wedding crashing and the stealing of the food, right, they're still not as bad as this idiot in Connecticut. So this guy's a fugitive. He's wanted. He's been wanted for a while. And he tells police that he'll turn himself in if his wanted poster gets 15,000 Facebook likes, because that's where we are in this in this world today, right? Mm. Please make me social media famous, no matter what I did. And it surpassed it. It's totally surpassed it. He still, to the recording of this show, hasn't turned himself in. But in the article that I read about the whole thing, he's like, yeah, I just wanted to do it because I'm so tired of looking over my shoulder all the time. But yet he still hasn't turned himself in.
I think I've seen similar stories. I think some people actually have turned themselves in when they've reached their like limit. It's as we kind of talked about, this is your Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame, and now it's copycats of it. You can't even be original in your Facebook like and not show your turn yourself in. Just stop it, people.
I'm not trusting my freedom to the American public.
Checkmate. Right. I mean it's like it's a really ridiculous play on his part, because the more people that see this and like it, they actually know who he is and maybe have seen him. All
right. Right, and could point the cops in his direction.
Yeah, it's really kind of dumb, but it's just the world we live in.
It totally is.
I'm not surprised that this person is following the footsteps of all the others who are like, oh, make me famous, like me, love me, shower me with kisses. But the idea that you're going to negotiate with the police, if I were going to do that, I mean, over the internet's the only safe way to do it, but I still don't think it'd work, because they've got those little machines they drive around with and ping people and know where you are. Google knows where you are. But they can just ask.
If you're doing it through in a public library, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but then you're one of three people that aren't in the bathroom.
Through some Tor or VPN. No, get some Tor.
Tor browser.
Yeah.
Use Tor, use Signal.
This dude isn't smart enough for that. I don't know. But honestly, didn't.
Mopery.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the article said it. I don't remember, and I didn't write it down.
And mopery, exposing yourself to blonde people. I think that's what it is. Yeah. Mopery.
Well, there's the word of the day.
There's your GRE for the
word
day,
of the
kids.
Day. Well, I'm going to be interested to see if they end up, because I don't think he's going to turn himself in. I think what's going to happen is they're going to end up finding him.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm
pretty sure that's the definition that one Booger gave for that in Revenge of the Nerds.
And I like that word, and you know what? That would be a great title if the definition just wasn't what it was.
Exposing yourself to blonde people?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the harm there?
Right? I didn't see it.
They do have a heightened sense of, like, smell. So I'd be like, did somebody just pull out their dick? I mean, like, you know, I think it's an interesting play. I say we go with it.
All righty then. Okay. Well...
You led that horse right to water.
I did.
And he drank it.
Gulp, gulp, gulp.
The college softball playoffs are going on right now, so I pitched that right over the plate.
Oh, you did.
But this dude, this Facebook dude, still isn't as stupid in terms of his wanting to be, you know, social media famous or whatever as this guy. And people out there listening may have seen this on the Twitter. So this guy puts this Twitter post out that says, hey, who wants to hear a story about the time that I transported a brick of heroin unwittingly to L.A. and sold it? Okay, here we go. And proceeds to just do this mega tweet.
Was this Twitter or Reddit?
It was Twitter. He just did this mega tweet, right? It got like hundreds of thousands of likes, retweets, all of this stuff. So then it comes out like 2 days later, and he actually said that in this thread that he had stolen this brick from the MS-13, right? And that he had duped the MS-13 and all this stuff. So it comes out like a couple of days later, and he's claiming now that MS-13 members want to kill him after he posted this. He says he made up the whole entire thing about stealing it from him and driving it from L.A. to Seattle to sell it because he wanted to be social media famous and he wanted this to launch his... He wants to be a writer and all this stuff. He started a GoFundMe page to get people to help him to go into hiding because now he's... like I said, he's fearing for his life, which... I can't. Just Rob, go ahead.
No, there's so many layers of this onion. One,
peel it, baby, peel it.
One, the person is just again thirsty, which I think a lot of people on social media are at this point. They're just trying to get those likes, and you know that's fine. But when you start to make up stories, why not make up stories that are not going to get you killed? Or
thank you, sir. Thank you.
Or, it's sad that you have to put that out to the world, Rob.
Yeah. I'm not done. Or get you arrested because now you're committing felonies by muling heroin or cocaine. And then secondly, once you realized, oh crap, I've made a poor life decision, then you go to GoFundMe. So now you want me to pay for your stupid bleeping decision? Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Look, just make up something again that an alien abducted you and they did some probing. Stop it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
I'm with that. I have to, Rob, you hit it on the head. I mean, first of all, MS-13, if people don't know, that started... Don't mess with them. That started from people who were in the Salvadorian army after the Salvadorian Civil War, and they came here. So they have a military background, like torture and all that.
Do not mess with them.
No. So he deserves whatever he gets for messing with MS-13.
Yeah, that's clearly the guy wins. That, you know, they don't... Do they still have the Darwin Awards? Is that still a thing?
Yes.
Should be your front runner right there, right?
He's on it.
Yeah.
But then, I'm like, well, John, you go ahead, and then I'll give my opinion on this.
No, well, that, I mean, I had, of all the people on God's earth not to mess with, they are 1 and 1A in my book. Dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, I know people are stupid, but this is dumb on dumb on dumb. And then you pick the worst possible beehive to poke when you claim it's there, like stealing their stuff. And no,
but the
just
thing-
kill yourself now because it'll be easier and you'll be happier.
And even on that, even if he didn't do it at this point because it's out there, why not just do it for kicks? Because he said he did.
Well,
and now you're just protecting, you know, your image. It's just stupid.
Because my whole thing, too, with this is, okay, well, what if he's making this up? What if somebody called him out on this tweet being a bunch of bull, right? And he wanted to try to get ahead of that game. Mm-mm. So now he's making this up about them coming after
him. It's going to get worse because he's involved MS-13. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's rule number one.
I agree.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But so, you know, this is where we're at, though. And Warhol said that everybody will have their 15 minutes of fame. But I don't think Warhol predicted the jackassery that we would have to produce to have 15 minutes of fame, because this guy falls in line with Facebook fugitive dude. Idiot who took a bath in a Wendy's sink and filmed it.
See, I kind of like,
taking baths in sink.
I kind of at least thought it was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, so it wasn't, you shouldn't be taking baths in the Wendy's sink or the Burger King, wherever, but at least it was kind of funny. I go, you're an idiot. You're going to lose your job, but I'm laughing.
But see, all that's right. The thing I think that you miss, because we all know people who did that back in our
time. Day, right.
But that was the urban legend, and you couldn't believe it. So-and-so did this at Wendy's, and we would all talk about it forever in high school.
And also younger. I mean, again, if there was social media when everybody at this table
we'd
was around, there would have been lots of trouble. We'd be stupid and posted stuff.
No, I agree.
The story is stronger than the truth in that regard.
Yeah.
So go back to your basics. Do something stupid or tell somebody we're going to do something stupid and then let the myth spread. And that's how you build an image in this world.
Well, and that's fine. And the Wendy's thing, okay. But then this woman in Poland, this model Instagram person in Poland who takes a hammer and smashes the nose off of a centuries-old statue. For an Instagram video.
And in fairness, I think she got some blowback and realized again that I'm an idiot. This was a stupid decision.
But I guess how do you not think that it's a stupid decision?
Because people
you do
are
it?
Playing stupid games and they want to win stupid prizes.
Yes, exactly.
It's like a big game of stupid chicken and nobody can stop it. Like, nobody. She's got a nose. Give me a hammer.
There you go.
That's a fair point. All right. Well, I guess if they get into difficulty and they're Americans in Austria, they can now go to McDonald's. Because McDonald's in Austria are now mini embassies.
Why not? Yeah.
So if you're an influencer or you're trying to be an influencer or you're being a jackass in Austria and you need some embassy American consulate help and you just don't know where the American embassy is located, go to a McDonald's because they will call the American embassy and say, hey, we have a jackass over here.
I'm just sad that there are no burger shakes in Austria. So maybe they could have been the embassy, right?
So like if you're in Vienna Central Park and you knock over the golden Mozart statue, you just run to the McDonald's and claim diplomatic immunity.
I don't think you're going
to
make it.
But do you get a McFlurry while you're waiting?
No, because the machine's broken.
Yeah. You just got to get a quarter pounder or something.
Royale with cheese, bro.
But the whole thing with these is
I don't know, I didn't go to Burger King.
It's supposed to be so like if you lose your passport or something like that, you can go and they will call the embassy for you and probably help you set up an appointment and all this stuff.
I feel like that's some pretty solid marketing. You can go there, you can get the help that you need, and while you're there, you got to wait a couple hours for some dude to show up.
Why not have a filet of fish?
Why not? Boom. So it's a win-win.
Some non-beef tallow fries while we're waiting. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story.
You probably have a beer because I'm sure they serve beer at the McDonald's in Austria.
I do. My point is, how valid is this since everyone travels with a smartphone? I mean, you go into your phone, Google Maps, you go nearest U.S. consulate, it'll draw you a map and you go there.
But maybe it'll end up like the next Jason Bourne movie, right?
Yeah.
You know, bleeding out, you can't make it to the real U.S. embassy, so you go to McDonald's and you start to bleed out there and they phone you in and then Jason Bourne comes in and karate chops some people.
I'd be scared to bleed out to McDonald's because they might serve me, you know?
True.
I'm curious about the value menu. Like, is there a discount for what you're going to do? Can you get?
Does it
I
exist
get, like,
outside America?
Oh, really?
I don't know.
They all pay in full price.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Huh. Everybody knows those McDonald's overseas says it's expensive.
Hmm. Oh, then maybe it's even worse.
All right. Well, maybe. I mean, yeah, I think it's a fun. I guess it's a fun little marketing thing for McDonald's to do.
Must be working. We're talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Word, sir.
Yeah. And actually, if I'm ever in Austria, I think I will go in there and try it.
I'm just going to say you lost your passport.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I need to be connected to the American embassy, please. Don't ask me why. Just do it. Exactly. Do it now.
I have some secret information for the American government.
John, call me, bro.
John, you wait outside and see what happens. The Polizei pulls up. It's just going to get ugly.
Yes. I have some information about UFOs that the...
I have some information that will lead to the rest of Hillary Clinton.
don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Dead within 20 minutes. Don't do that.
I have some information
allegedly
for IATIP. I've got some information that IATIP could be interested in. Anyway, so all right, we'll do one more topic before we get to the bourbon. So the great state of Washington, not D.C., but the state in the western part of the country, it is now the first state that you can legally, and this kind of speaks to the funeral thing that we were talking about, you can legally compost your dead relative.
I mean, again, I think this is a nice idea if that's what you want to do. Like, there's like the mushroom bag. What's his name?
Decomposing bodies is a nice idea, Rob.
No, I mean, but think about it.
Did you like Dexter when it was on TV?
I accidentally watched like an episode or two. But think about it. Didn't what's his name just get put in a, like Jason Priestley or the, didn't he get like in a mushroom bag or something? They threw him somewhere.
Oh, well,
the
Hunter S.
Thompson.
They're all the same.
Hunter S. Thompson got shot into the atmosphere.
Yeah, he got cremated
and
shot up.
You know, for millions of years we didn't embalm people, we just chucked them in the ground, threw them rocks on top of them and called it a day. They found out you can make more money by pumping chemicals into people, and we went with that. So I got no problem.
Dude, how much money were the Egyptians making off of that racket?
They were burying whole cities with those people and those things. Something
you got buried with them.
That's a good point.
You got internal life. You know, I don't have an issue with it. If you want to be buried, that's great. If you want to be cremated, that's great. If you want to be composted and have the worms eat you, that's great. That's your thing.
Because what happens is kind of the whole process, and I actually read about it, is that they take you and there's people that have licenses to do this, right? And they compost your body, and then they give the bag of compost to relatives or whoever wants it, and then you can put that in your garden or your backyard.
There's a problem. There's a problem with that because we are
your tomatoes taste like feet.
Wait, Rob, do you want to rethink that? Or?
No, I'm not what I want to think it. I just think if you're putting it in the garden, that's that's another step. I think if you got like some woods, a forested area, that's probably great. If you're composting it and it's like, look at my prize winning heirloom tomato, then you got real issues.
There's a big problem with this because you cannot. compost animals because what we give off is not good for
yeah.
vegetable gardens. Same reason you don't put like predator poop in your like manure because it does bad things to your vegetables.
But that's why we all get Listeria all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But then the thing I'm for it is because I like less government regulation. So and break up this alleged racket of funeral homes and how much they charge people to be put in the ground. It's ridiculous.
It's up to like, I mean, the average funeral is up to like $15,000-$20,000. I mean, who has that kind of cash just laying around?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I support it as a cause, but I'm not so sure about the gardening aspect of it, right? I mean, the decayed banana peels and that kind of shit is fine, but
there's a whole,
whole body thing needs to be put somewhere out in a forest and just let it grow mushrooms.
I'm with you. Like, if you were to put it in a forest, maybe a flower bed. You know, Uncle George is particularly devoted to the daisies. Yes. The resurrection lily kind of thing. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine.
Well,
but I'm not
going
to sit down to an exit. Oh, look at the lettuce this year is particularly heartfelt.
I'm essentially just not even the composting is probably a bad name for it. Just the decomposition of the body is totally fine with me. Like there's that body farm in Tennessee,
where they study, it, forensic science.
You're just gonna go back to whatever it is. Your basic chemical elements, and that's probably fine.
Well, like I said, there's a whole process that has to be applied to this before, you know, they can't they're not just...
Right, but it's what you do with the bag of compost when you get it. That's my point is let's have a generation or two separation from the food chain here. That's my point.
Yeah. All right. I don't disagree with that all at all.
No, I'm with you, John.
Well, maybe they could make it into... Someday we would be made into bourbon.
What are y'all exactly growing those tomatoes in your backyard out of? Mm.
Well, in Washington State, they're probably using it to grow weeds. Yeah,
the other one that I thought was kind of cool was you can make a gemstone out of the ash.
Yeah, that's cool.
That makes carry sense. That person around. I think that there's just better ways to do
some
of this.
Or shoot them into space.
Instead of taking up real estate.
Shoot them into space.
Sprinkle them on your blunts and just smoke old Grandpa Joe.
I was going to say, didn't...
Smoke
them. Won the whole rumor that Keith Richards snorted a line of his dad.
Yeah, I think it was...
I think it's not true, but...
on Twitter, it didn't happen.
It was an urban legend for a while. But anyway. Okay. Hmm. Well, someday we all might be made into bourbon. Who knows? And Soylent Green is people, just FYI.
Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about that.
Right. Okay. So what did we think of the two...
A and B. What do you guys, John?
A and B.
I liked them both. They both tasted really familiar. I'm trying to think. I think I had more samples of A. It just appealed to my palate more. Mm-hmm. They were both very good. I would not turn either one of them down at your house to drink.
This is Chad here with his great review. I liked them both, but I had them at the beginning of the show. They both tasted eerily similar to me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm on the cough drops too, but I liked them both. It's like, you know, I don't think they're super expensive. They're probably some daily drinkers, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I would drink them. Yeah, no problem.
I liked A better than B. I thought A had, there was a more, I don't know if it was a sweetness or like a butterscotchy sort of flavor to A.
Completely.
There's a weird aftertaste with both of them that I can't put my finger on. There was a point when I had A that I thought it was charcoal-y on the end, and we have to always be vigilant against the Jack Daniels when he brings things. But I mean, I don't know, but I personally liked A better than B. I thought they were both good though, mm-hmm. but A was my better.
This is Jack Daniels choice. And Gentleman Jack.
That's what it makes me wonder. I've almost convinced myself.
My guess is Beam on these.
I like
some kind of Beam Knob Creek.
I liked B better than A. I thought A was sweet. It was a little sweet. A was a little hotter for me.
Yep.
B was a little bit smoother.
Hmm,
I don't think B was as complex as A. But I liked B a little bit better.
I thought, I know what they are. I thought A was definitely sweeter to John's point. I thought B had a little more of an oaky flavor.
Mm-hmm. I was almost going to say a dryness to it.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. So what we're drinking, A is the newest release of Four Roses. It's a small batch.
Wow.
Select.
Okay.
Wow. Totally did not get
very
that.
Happy.
I am very happy.
Non-chill filtered. Really enjoyable. It's about $50, $56 a bottle. And because I was curious... B is just the
regular
single,
small batch,
the single, just single barrel. Because I wanted it kind of
OBSV.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be two different in proof. So you got 103 and 100, and you know, also wanted to see how everybody could the two different flavors. And again, I liked A a little bit more, but B was really solid.
A may have to be a purchase.
Well, I think the reason
home.
Why the similarities because I said they were eerily similar.
Yeah,
because
right.
I think like a lot of the new one is OBSV, which is a single barrel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the single barrels, yeah.
Yeah. So that's that was today's right. Fun with bourbon.
But two both available?
Oh, yeah.
And readily available.
Yeah, yeah. One's about, like I said, 50, 55. The other one somewhere 35 to 40.
Okay. So totally
yeah,
doable.
Totally doable. Yeah. And really enjoyable for both.
You won't even have to go to Tater Fantasy Camp to get them.
But
I
you
could.
Walk
in right
but
now.
You could.
Yeah, you
but could
get
could.
A Tater Fantasy
but you
Camp.
Could. But you could.
But they're good. I would recommend you get a bottle that day. It was good.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, any end of the show shout outs here?
I got a couple. Right. Got a shout out for Lindsay. Thanks for those great pours yesterday. Really enjoyed that. And I'll see you tonight, Scott.
All right. Sean?
I'm good.
No? All right. Chad?
Yeah, shout out to all those tasty kneecap asparagus as I will be eating at some point in time, right? I'm looking forward to the future.
Between the Soylent Green and the people vegetables, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right, I dig it. John, any end of the
show? I'd like to, I guess I'd shout out Rick again. He lost another job. Michigan chose Juwan Howard, so.
Really?
Dude, yeah.
Really?
I know that. Oh, yes. I thought we were going to talk about this. Probably
horrible choice. Horrible choice.
That's probably going to be Juwan, has Juwan ever coached?
Nope. He was
an assistant in the NBA.
Assistant in the NBA.
Okay.
Huh. So you've turned over, in my opinion, one of the better coaches, in-game X's and O's coaches in John Boeheim, to a man who's never coached as a head coach before. So
didn't he say he's growing a beard or something?
No. Oh, okay. So Rick's got trouble.
Here we go.
So Rick, Olympiakos and Panathinaikos, they're doing this whole deal with the devil thing. And so Olympiakos wouldn't play, and somebody put a dead chicken on their bench. And Rick has said multiple times, this is the craziest crap I've ever seen. So now they're suing because they've this championship game is supposed to go off, but there's a lawsuit, so they're not going to play. So Rick says, I'm going to grow a beard in protest until my team is allowed to play.
Love it.
So love patches it. Will be there for about 3-4 weeks.
I mean, how do we get him back to the NCAA?
Nobody clearly wants him. You're going to take anybody. Literally. Oh, Michigan chose anybody.
I'm telling you, you're some lower division, and he's going to crush it, and then all the other schools are going to be like, oh, my God, we got
to
have this guy.
I honest to God thought this was his chance in Michigan. I really – they passed on the first time when he took the big L.
I feel like Michigan is probably a little too high profile. I think he's going to have to rebuild his brand.
Well, I'm going to tell you, anytime
well,
he
that
wants
beard
to
ain't
on,
it.
Anytime he wants to come on this show, he is more than welcome.
I'd love to have Rick call in.
No, I want him in the room.
Oh,
no, I don't know about that. We'd have to dry clean the seats. And my dog lives here.
Well, anytime he wants to come on, I'll welcome it. I will totally welcome it.
Still love you, Rick.
Yeah.
Thanks for 96.
Whatever. All right. Anyway, as always, thank you for listening to us. You can find us on Twitter at PodcastBABO. We're on the Instagram. We're on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. We are on Podbean. We're on Spotify. We are on iTunes. And as always, we will see you next time. See you.
Peace. Let us know about those hot dishes, Adam.